Thank you so much, praise team and congregation. And we just want to ask you guys to take your Bibles, if you would, and go over to Psalm 119. Just before we pray, just want to remember one of our former members, Karen Pearson, passed away this week as well. So I just want to let you guys know that. Be praying for their family. They live in Florida. And there'll probably be a memorial service at some point later in the year. So we're working on that. But just remember, a sweet, sweet lady, and just a great servant of God as well. So we're going to pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your word, Lord. We want to understand, Lord, how to live life. Lord, we search, Lord, each and every day of our lives, Lord, for answers to questions, Lord, that sometimes feel like they can never have an answer on this earth. But we want to praise you, Lord, that you gave us your word. And I pray, Lord, as we look at this passage, Lord, over the next few weeks about your word, its power, its ability to encourage us and help us, direct us, guide us, I pray, Lord, that you would just use it today to speak to our hearts. Father, there's not one of us that could not use a bit of your encouragement, a bit of your guidance, and surely your grace. And I just ask, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that you would just guard my lips. I pray, Lord, that I would speak your words and not mine. And I pray, dear God, that you would just encourage us and enlighten us. And I pray, dear God, that you would just deepen our understanding of your word. And I pray that you would deepen our commitment, Lord, to know you, Father, through your holy word that we can depend on and rely on as we move forward. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to continue in our series, and I want you guys to kind of work with me. We'll do some interactive things today as well. But we're talking about the series title is like rain and snow from the heavens. And we know that rain and snow has the ability to change life on earth. And the Bible has that incredible power to deepen our walk with God and literally change us from what we are to what we ought to be. So we're going to skip right on down, and I want to just share with you guys today what we're going to talk about. And we're going to look at the second section, and I'll describe those for you guys in a little bit today. And Brother Moses actually used this, called the Beth. It looks like Beth, but it's Beth section. We're going to talk about this idea. We're calling it the cleanup plan. Can anybody use a little cleanup? You know, how about like in our homes, right? You're trying to put the Christmas decorations away. Anybody been there? Sometimes, you know, you want to just put it off. We'll do it, you know, in February. But, you know, the house is like a wreck. There's stuff everywhere. You know, if you have a real Christmas tree, it's more like the Charlie Brown stick and the needles are on the floor. It's just a mess. And you got to have a cleanup plan. What are you going to do, right? And I use that illustration to say, you know, in our lives, we need a cleanup plan. And by the way, the idea of a cleanup plan is we need to change. I don't know about you. Anybody out there a change resistor? All right. And the rest of you all are not telling the truth. Yeah, and by the way, they say this, the older we get, the more set in our ways and our ruts that we are, and, you know, we don't think we need to change sometimes, but oh, we're good. But if I read God's word, we're not quite as good as we need to be. So we're going to talk about that. So just a thought to kind of get us flowing, and we started with this last week as well. You know, it's 2025, it's a brand new year. We are now 12 days into the new year. Some of your resolutions went out the window probably on day two. Hopefully others are still going. And we need to change a number of things in our lives. We've even made maybe resolutions about them in the past to do it. And we just ask this question. Is it even possible to change? Is it possible to clean up our lives? And what I want to look at today is God's word. God's word says, yes, it is possible. And by the way, that change, you know, might be something that's kind of funny. It might be something that's really serious. It might be how you think about things. It might be the doom and gloom that's in your life, the sadness, the depression, whatever it is. But God's word can change our heart. And that's what we're going to look at today. So we're going to flip right on down. And I want you to get a hold of this eternal truth. And this is kind of the point, right? This is what God's word says. When I look at this passage, this is what God's word says. Trusting God, knowledge of his word, and spirit-led obedience are the pathway to cleaning up our lives or biblical change. So you got to get it. So like, we got to believe what God says is true. We got to trust him, right? We have to understand what is right and what is wrong, so we need a knowledge of his word. And then I'll throw this out. Those two things alone don't do it, but the power of the Holy Spirit that works in our lives, that's what gives us the power to change. Right? And we're going to look at that today as we kind of dive in. So we're going to flip right on down. The first thing I want to talk about today is, by the way, Psalm 119. How many people have read Psalm 119 this week? I'm not trying to guilt you. If you didn't read it next week, it's okay, right? A bunch of you guys have. What was your impression? I hear, right? Jonathan, by the way, in need of coffee. January 28th is coming soon. Right? But yeah, here's an impression. Man, Psalm 119, I might need coffee too. Psalm 119 is long. Say it with me, it's long, right? It is long, the teaching of this psalm. So we got to understand, how do I attack this book? What's going on in this book? So we're going to look at the issue today. First, we're going to think about, there's a big overarching concept about Psalm 119, and we're going to get that. And then we're going to take a look at the content, and I want to understand, how do I attack this psalm? How do I understand it? How do I use it in my life to really affect practical changes that I need and we all need, right? So here it is. So we're going to dive down and take us down, if you guys would. Here's the key verse, right? By the way, you probably learned this verse if you got saved as a young person or in church as a young person, right? Here's the big concept. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's the big thing, right? God's word is a lamp to our feet. It helps us to step in the right places, not the wrong places. And it lights up our path so we know where to go and how to go. And we understand what the impact of that is. You know, there's, by the way, a lot of teaching in Scripture. There's another passage that talks about this, about how we tread and how we watch our step. But the idea is, the word is a lamp to my feet. And I'll throw this out. How many folk have ever gotten up in the middle of the night? Raise your hand. Right? Got up in the middle of the night, right? And you kicked the bedpost. Isn't that an awakening? Right? You've been there, right? You know, that hurts, right? That hurts. And boy, you know, in the middle of those nights at 2 a.m., you need a lamp for your feet and a light for your path. But that's a good picture, though. By the way, how many times in life have we made a decision that really had impact and consequences that we did not understand when we made that choice? By the way, that could be something like marriage. It could be something about, you know, having children, working with children. It could be taking a job. It could be moving to a new location. It could be, how do I spend my money? How do I buy, you know, should I buy this car? Should I buy this house? You know, what should I do? Should I get revenge on this guy? He's really ticking me off. You know, all the things that cross our minds, right? We need a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, because if we go the way we think we ought to go, it's like when we wake up at 2 a.m. and hit our feet on the bed. It's not real pretty, right? And that's the point. That's kind of big picture. That's what this psalm is all about, saying there is a way, there's something out there to direct our path, and it's the word of God. And that's kind of the big picture of Psalm 119 in all 176 verses. So I want to stop for a quick second and think about, so what is the content of this book, by the way? Because it's hard, and trust me, I've read this, and I've studied this, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm reading about this as well as reading it. What are all the things in this chapter? And here's some of the things. There are some beatitudes. And by the way, that's kind of a Christian word, a theological word. We think about the Beatitudes. Where's the Beatitudes that we all know? Where's that at? Matthew chapter 5, right? Blessed are the poor in heart. Blessed are the poor. Blessed, et cetera, all those things, right? That's the Beatitudes. In this book, there's a Beatitude that says, if you read the word of God, you are going to be blessed. And by the way, the word there for blessings, it's mentioned 19 times in this chapter. Not in this book, in this chapter. It's mentioned 19 times. There's a bunch of aspirations. That's kind of like what we think about. You know, we get to December 31st, and we aspire for the new year to be better, to be good. There's a whole bunch of aspirations, and one of them is to seek God and to seek His Word. 26 times it's mentioned. There's aspirations to obey God. By the way, everybody look up. How many folks said, you know what, I need help in obeying God? A lot of you guys, by the way, you know what you ought to do. The problem isn't you don't know. The problem is you don't do. And the problem is I don't do either. Right? So we need to seek God. We need to obey God. We have aspirations to praise God more. We have aspirations to delight in His Word. 10 times. Big thing there, right? This chapter is also full of a lot of prayers. And here's one, by the way. 24 times, the writer of this psalm, you know what he says? He says, God, teach me. Everybody look up. Don't you need God to teach me? A lot of people have taught me. Mr. Lam taught us a lot of stuff. He taught me how to drive the bus. I had a couple of crashes early on. Right? But after that, I've done pretty good, I think. Right, Mr. Lam? And I took a season off for a while. And Mr. Lam said, you know, because I had to get back and drive a little bit for some things. And Mr. Lam said, you can do it. You can do it. And he kind of showed me how to use the new bus. The new bus, by the way, is really nice. It's better than the old school bus I learned on. It has AC most of the time. It has heat most of the time. Chris, we got to work on that because snow camp's coming, right? You know, but he taught me a lot of stuff. But here's the thing. We all need God to teach us because His perspective is amazing. Remember, God, what knows all things, is present everywhere, right? He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And what? He's all-seeing. Good point, right? The other word I was looking for was what? He's omnipotent, or He is all-powerful, right? And I'll throw this out. Can anybody have the three O's on their life? Anybody omnipotent out there? Anybody omnipresent? Anybody all-knowing? There's a few. Okay, a few of them out there, right? Yeah, we think we are sometimes. And then we have those 2 a.m. bed frame experiences, right? And it happens to us, right? So there's a lot of prayers out there that God would teach us, that God would give us strength. By the way, there's a whole thing in this chapter about going through the afflictions and the challenges of life. And he says, God, give me strength. Help me get through this. You know, God's word helps us to understand. There's prayers about remembering God's word. By the way, as we all get older, right? The memory kind of goes a little bit. Whether you have disease or not, it just kind of doesn't stick as good as it used to. Memory is hard for us. We need God's mercy. We need God's direction. We need God's deliverance. A lot of times we need revival. We need our lives revived. You know, by the way, in our emotions, our souls, our spirit, we need revival. We need understanding because sometimes I read God's word and I don't know what to do any better than before I started. We need understanding. And by the way, it isn't because God didn't say it well. It's because my human flesh gets in the way a lot, doesn't it? Right? And we need obedience. And by the way, he used the word keep 25 times. Keep what God says. There's declarations of confidence. Because let me say this, by the way. The character of the scriptures is lifted up in Psalm 119. But the scriptures lift up the character of God. Everybody look up. You know what? You can trust God in 2025. Isn't that true? That should be like a resounding, yeah, we can. We can trust God. And by the way, we need to keep the word of God telling us that so we don't get afraid. We can trust God. We have confidence in Him and His word. And by the way, there's a bunch of contemplations or considerations in there. And you know, contemplate is, and by the way, in our fast-paced life, that's something we don't do a lot of. You know, we're kind of just running. We did it this morning, right, Pastor Ansu, Jonathan? We're just running all over, right? But we don't take the time sometimes to slow down and really think. Really process things. So they're in there too. And I appreciate this, and we're going to slide down to the next slide. There's a gentleman named Paul Tripp, and some of you know him. He's big in Christian counseling. But he wrote this phrase. He said, God's word is a gift. You got a lot of gifts this year. I don't know if anybody got a Bible or, you know, something digital about the scriptures. God's word is a gift. And here's a question I want you to contemplate. Where would you be without it? That's a good contemplation right there, right? And how about this? What would I know without it? What would you know about God, about man, man and women, sin? What would you know about salvation? If there was no word of God, there's something called general revelation. Like I can look outside and it's sunny out today. And by the way, the sun is deceptive because it looks like it's a beautiful warm day outside. It'll be warmer than this week, praise God. But it's not that warm. Right? So the general revelation sometimes fools us, right? But guess what? God's special revelation of his word lays it out there just like it is. Just like it is, right? Here's a question. How would I make decisions if I didn't have God's word? You know, maybe you would see something, somebody has it, and you like it, and you take it. Right? It's called stealing, right? That's the decision many people make. But God's word says, don't do that. Not a good thing, right? How would I make decisions? How would I face difficulty? When your dreams don't come true and your plans fail, now what? Are we hopeless? Is it over? What now? God's word says something different, right? And that's important. How would I know right from wrong? We kind of described that earlier. I won't go on along that. How would I know what is wise and what is foolish? How would I know? And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. Is popular opinion a good way to flesh out those answers? What do you think? Why? Because it changes, right? I could ask 10 people and get 10 different answers. But when I go to the Word of God, I get one answer today, I get the same answer next week, and I get the same answer 10 years from now. Because the Bible and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's an objective, unchanging standard, right? And that's why we need it, right? Because, by the way, those things aren't out there. You know, if I go to social media, guess what? It changes. There's a variety of opinions. Probably many of them all wrong. What am I going to do, right? That's God's gift. So there's a bunch of contemplation. So let's talk about, real quick, the technicals of Psalm 119. Technicals of Psalm 119, important. By the way, first thing we said was its length. So go to that slide, Chris. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. And by the way, just so y'all know, there's 31,102 total verses in the Bible. I did not count them, so I didn't check it. But that's a lot of verses, right? But Psalm 119 has a bunch of them, right? It makes it the longest chapter in the Bible. And by the way, there's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. And by the way, if you ever thought about this, how you read, people try to read the Bible through in 1 year, you have to read about 3.25 chapters a day and you get through to the end, right? And that helps us understand that. But its length, right, in verses is greater than 30 other books in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? This one chapter is longer than 30 other whole books in the Bible. By the way, all of the epistles, most of the minor prophets, this book, this chapter is longer than all those. It's huge, right? And I'll share a funny story. It's a life-saving chapter. And it really can be, by the way, if we read God's word and we know how important it is, it's life-saving. But here's an interesting story. Anyone ever heard of, there's a 17th century bishop, his name was George Wishart. He was a bishop in Scotland. And if you guys are familiar with England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, that country's been torn between Catholicism and Protestantism, right? So guess what happened? One day, George Wishart was condemned to death. And by the way, the people and Jane's family is Scottish, English, and those people sometimes back in the day, they were kind of scary. I have to watch Jane sometimes. No. But they did some heinous things, you know, they chopped people's heads off, they did all sorts of stuff, right? And I'm not trying to give her any ideas. They did all this stuff. But this guy, George Wishart, he was condemned to death and because he was the bishop, right? And although they had some heinous things going on, there was in the fabric of their culture, the Bible was important. So they would allow the condemned person to choose a psalm, a last psalm to sing before he would be executed. And you know what? George Wishart was trained in the scriptures. So guess what psalm he picked? Psalm 119. So he literally began to sing Psalm 119. By the way, that's amazing to know it all. He sang Psalm 119. And in the middle of Psalm 119, someone came and they pardoned him. Thank God, by the way. There's a psalm right about, I think it's 117. It's the shortest psalm. It's only two verses. It's a good thing he knew one from the other. Right? But he literally sang that psalm. And imagine, 176 verses. And eventually, someone came and they said, we're going to pardon you. And he got off. So Psalm 119 can be life-saving. If you're in a jam, Psalm 119, right? But kind of amazing, but true, but funny story. And by the way, I kind of checked it. It's like, it's out there, like everywhere. It's really a true story. So, you know, praise God. But the Bible, not in a funny way like that, but the Bible really has that power to save our lives, right? So we're going to skip on down. It's long, has all those things. What else about, what's its layout? And this is what I want you guys to understand, and hopefully in your Bibles you'll see this. It's called an acrostic. Anybody know what an acrostic is? An acrostic is, like in the English language, when we lay out words in a vertical way. Say we did like all the letters begin with A. So the first letter would be, the first word would be A with something next to it. A with something next to it. A with something next to it. Or if you did the alphabet, first one would be A. You maybe say animal. B, boy. C, Charlie. D, dog. E, Edward, right? So this psalm is laid out in an acrostic pattern, and it uses every Hebrew consonant. You guys remember it back in school? Consonants, right? Letters like B, right? C, not vowels, right? And it uses all 22 consonants as that acrostic structure. And then check this out. Each of the sections are made up of eight verses, and they all begin with that consonant. I'll throw this out. God's a God of order. God is a God of perfection. God's a God of planning, right? And he lays this out just like that. By the way, it's a memory aid, helps us to understand what's going on. So all eight verses in each alphabetical section begin with that consonant. If you look in your Bibles, I have a Nelson New King James Bible, and it actually has the letters above it. So the first Hebrew consonant is Aleph. The second one is Beth, the passage we'll use today. The third one is Gimel. The fourth one is Daleth. And by the way, it seems a little bit like the English alphabet, like Aleph, right? We think of what? A. Beth, we think of B. It actually throws G ahead of C, Gimel. And then it goes over to Daleth and all the way up through to the end. But in my Bible, it actually prints those sections out. So I say that to say this. As I read Psalm 119, you kind of want to take like eight verses at a time. And in much of them, there will be a theme that you will be able to pull out and extract and use in your life. Helps us to kind of organize it. Because I don't know about you, ain't it hard to get your arms around 176 verses? It's hard for me to do that too. And by the way, this is a thought. Someone said that Hebrew fathers, even David, used this chapter to teach the Hebrew alphabet and instruct their child in the alphabet of life. I like that thought. So this psalm, right, lays it out alphabetically, but it lays out the concept of how to live life well. And by the way, when I think about the Bible, and this section is in the book of Psalms, which, you know, if you take your Bible, right, where's Psalms at in the scriptures? Where's that? Pretty much, you open the Bible to the middle, you'll find yourself in Psalms, right? And Psalms is right in the heart of what's called wisdom literature, right? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, right? Those are all wisdom-type books. They're poetic, and they're in this section where we try to get wisdom. And the idea of wisdom is we need the skill to live life well. Not just live life, but to live it well, to be good at life. And that's kind of where we find this. So we're going to skip on down. Just real quick, and I'll say this about it as well. You're going to notice that the Word of God is talked about over and over. By the way, the Word of God, I mentioned at the bottom, is mentioned at least 171 verses. There's 176. 171 have a word that means the Word of God. Okay? And then within that, you're going to find 8 different words that mean the Word of God. And here they are. The first one is the word law, which, you know, by the way, comes from the Hebrew word. The only one you'll really recognize is the word Torah. The Torah is the first 5 books of the Hebrew Bible and also the English Bible. And what are they? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, what? Numbers, Deuteronomy. And that's it, right? So the Torah, right? So the Torah, you'll see the Bible called the Torah, the law. The testimonies, and you don't know that word, I don't either, you know, unless you study it. The testimonies, right, are God's ordinances or God's standards for living. And then it says the way, the pattern of life in God's law. What's the way? What way do I go? I go the pattern that God has established in the law, right? And the precepts, right, is the next one. And precepts are like injunctions or requirements. What does God want me to do in this situation? So it's another way to talk about it. Statutes are things inscribed. And I want you to think about this back in that day, right? What were the Ten Commandments? They were inscribed on tablets of stone. By the way, that kind of has an element of what permanence to it, doesn't it? So the Bible is made up of statutes. The Bible is made up of commandments. By the way, and commandments are very specific, distinct orders, right? But they're part of God's law. Judgments, right, are binding judicial decisions that God has made, right? And then the word is by mentioned, by see how many times was there? 39 times. And the word is just any revelation that God gives. You know, that's specific, okay? So you guys can take a picture of that. I can publish that for you guys if you want it. It'll be out there. But just gives you an idea. This is how I attack Psalm 119. So we're going to go to the next part. The truths about life's change. So here it is, right? Let's dig in. Now we're going to take a section. So let's go to the second section, beginning in verse 9. And by the way, it starts out with, there's a question. And then the second part is all about what are the answers? And how are me and you going to apply them when I walk out that door today? How are we going to do that? So here we go. We're going to dig in, right? So here's the question. Everybody look up. How can a young man cleanse his way? How? By the way, as a parent, we wanted our young men to have clean ways. And our young women too. How can we do that? And by the way, I throw it out to you guys. You look at that verse real quick and I kind of italicize it. Here's the thought. What do you think about when you think about a young man? What do you think about? Interact with me. What do you think about? Why do we want young men to cleanse their way? They're busy, right? They're driven by their hormones more than their head, more than their heart, right? They're inexperienced. They don't understand. They don't have a history to fall back on. They tend not to listen to everybody else. They tend not to kind of want to do their own thing. They want to express themselves. So the question is, how can a young man cleanse his way? And by the way, some of those characteristics stick with us even as old men. You know, we go to Word of Life. I remember Jack Wirtzen had a quote at the end of his life. He said, "Lord God, I pray that I don't die a foolish old man." Right? So it's important for us to think about that. How do we cleanse our way? What do we do? And that's the question. So here's some answers, right? And look at the next verse. And by the way, the next verse is really the same verse. Psalm 119, verse 9, kind of gives us the question. It gives us the answer right in the same verse. And it says this, "By taking heed according to your word." Let's translate that. I don't think I ever use that with my kids. You need to heed what I say, right? But, you know, and that word makes sense. We don't use that much in English. But the idea is we need to obey what God's word says. And by the way, sometimes that'll seem like a crazy idea. Like, I'll give you an example. Everybody look up. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "Turn the other cheek." I don't see a lot of cheeks being turned these days. Do you? Seriously. I mean, that's kind of a funny way of thinking about it. Do you see a lot of people turning the other cheek? Or do you see a lot of people giving you the left jab? Yeah, we don't see a lot of that, right? So, taking heed according to the word of God. That's kind of the answer, right? So I need to know what God says, and then I need to do what God says, and how do I get there from here? That's kind of the problem, right? So we're going to skip down and talk about that in brief. By the way, here's some answers. And we read Psalm 19. Everybody, Psalm 119, the longest chapter, talks all about the word of God. Psalm 19 talks about God's revelation, the general revelation that we see on earth, and the special revelation that we get in his word. And Psalm 119 says this, "This is why God's word matters and why we need to learn it and we need to suck it up and inculcate it into our lives." The idea of the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Did y'all get that? And I don't know about you, there's not too many things out there that are perfect in any way. But this, the law of God has the ability to convert the soul. And I'll call you guys, we won't turn there for the sake of our time this morning, but in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, right, it says, "The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide asunder," right, "joints and marrow and bones and tendons and cartilage and all those things," right? And it says, "And it even shows us the motivations and the intentions in our heart." That's pretty powerful, right? Like the word of God sometimes, it's like the mirror. When you wake up and you look in the mirror and you go, oh. You know, you ever wake up and you have like a, you know, as guys, I'm kind of clean shaven. So I have to use the right shaving cream. Otherwise, I get bumps and pimples and all that stuff. And you never want to get those. Like, you know, maybe you have a wedding or you have a special occasion. You look in the mirror and you go, oh, shoot. Right? The word, but it's the truth, right? So you gotta try to cover it up. You got to do something, you know, make it look good. That's what the word of God does, right? It reveals the reality of who we are, where we are, and what is up right now. Right? You know, so the law of God's perfect converting the soul. It says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." By the way, doesn't that tie back to that young man idea? Like with young men, you know, they're so driven by everything but logic and reality. We got to make those guys wise, right? But how we do that, the word of God does what? It makes the simple wise. It's a good thing, right? It says, "The statutes of the Lord are right. They rejoice our heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure," and look what it does, it enlightens our eyes. Now, I don't know about you, in the midst of this world, my eyes need to have some enlightenment. Because I can look at everything else, social media, the news, the media, listen to people, even at church. And a lot of times, the ideas are faulty. And by the way, I'm going to throw me in there. If you ask me for my ideas outside of the word of God, they're faulty, right? That's why, by the way, when I preach and Pastor Ann Sue's preach, I try to stick in the Word of God, because if I go someplace else, God knows where we're going to end up. Right? And that's true in the world too. So we got to stay on God's Word. The commandments, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And it says this, but look at a thought about this. It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. You guys remember Solomon? Remember God came to Solomon and he said, Solomon, I will give you anything that you want. And you guys are all going, man, I wish I was Solomon. You know, you're thinking about stuff or money or whatever, power, you know, great houses, whatever it is, right? You think about all those things. But Solomon said, you know what he wanted? He wanted wisdom, right? And that's why the Word of God is better than gold. Because how many people have seen athletes, entertainers, especially when they're young, they come into all this money, and as quick as it comes, it goes, right? That's why wisdom is so critical. That's why we got to get an eternal principle to drive how we live, not our own desire, right? So he says that right there. That's the key, right? So we skip on down to the next part. Take us there, Christopher, real fast, if you would. Here's the answer. Look what it says again about the Word of God. It says, moreover, by them your servant is warned. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody get up. By the way, how many parents are out there? Raise your hand, parents. Could you use a little help in parenting? Yeah. Can I get an amen? Amen, right? Here's the deal. One great way to teach your kids is, like, they don't want to listen to you, but tell them, this is what God says. If you want to fight with God, go ahead, but it's a losing battle, right? This is what God says. We need to be warned by the Word of God. And it says, who can understand his errors? You know, and he's like, kind of like, God, cleanse me from my secret faults. Everybody look up. You know, a lot of our faults, we are professionals at covering them up. We wear makeup. We wear nice clothes. You know, we look fashionable. We look kind of nice. But on the inside, right, our heart is a mess, right? And we need God to show us our secret faults. And the Word of God, being sharper than a two-edged sword, kind of gets in there and shows us what's what, right? That's what it says there, right? And he says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. A lot of times, you know, we presume upon people and we try to get what we want. We use them. He said, help me to get away from that. And he said, then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And I just want to leave you with a word. By the way, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 8 is a great corollary as parents to teach our children the Word of God from the moment that we have them till the moment that they leave, and then keep talking about it when they go, as best you can. Sometimes they don't want to hear you, they want to hear it. Pray for them and keep trying to talk to them about that thing, right? But how about this, Jeremiah 17, 11, y'all know that verse? The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That means you don't even know your own heart. But God does, and the Word of God points out exactly the garbage that's in my heart. Right? And that's important. So that's the answer. It helps us understand what to do. So take us down, Chris. So by the way, here's another verse that kind of helps us understand this. The answers, right? Remember I said this? The Word of God is great, but if I don't trust God, I don't care. Right? Isn't that true? Like, you only take advice from people you what? Trust. And by the way, remember the psalmist in the psalm, he actually prayed, he said, Lord, help me to keep. You're going to see that over 20 times. Help me to keep your commands. Part of that is, God, help me to trust you, God. I know you're all-knowing and all-powerful, but sometimes I think I know more than you do. Help me not to do that, right? And he says this in Proverbs 3, you know, great passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Everybody look up. I love you guys. There's a ton of smart people in this congregation, but our understanding of life is flawed. Pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and everyone else in the congregation, no matter what your job is, out there and in here, it's flawed. We got to know what God says, right? He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, right? Remember, he's God. He has the three O's, omnipotence, omnipresence, and what? Omniscience. So So we're going to test the one with the three O's, not the one with the no O's. Me, right? We're going to test him, and he's going to direct our paths. So it's kind of this answer, right? So the psalmist is saying, how can a young man cleanse his ways? The answer is, obey God's word. You got to know it, and then you got to do it, right? And we're going to go right on down from there. We'll skip down, Christopher, again, if you would take us. Here's the details, real quick. What are the answers, right? How, by the way, everybody look up. Y'all get the concept. What's the concept? How can a young man or young woman cleanse their way? Say it. I'm like your teacher. Say it. By what? Obeying what God says, right? Okay, good. So here's the question. How do we get from here to there? Because it's not just what I know, but it's what I do. How do I get to obedience? And Psalm 119 tells us. Look what he says. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. So, and by the way, another pattern that you'll see in Psalm 119 is you'll have a passage, like it says, with my whole heart I've sought you, and then a parallel, let me not wander from your commandments. So the idea here is what? I got to seek God, and I got to continue to seek God and not wander away, even when it's the idea that God's telling me seems crazy. Because the only crazy idea is doing what I think is right. Really, right? And then he says, next, and by the way, get this in your mind. Your word have I hidden in my heart. And we just sang about that, right? Here's the idea, right? Hiding God's word in your heart. And by the way, our thought, which is mostly correct, is scripture memory. That is a really great thought. But it goes way beyond memorizing just the words. Like, this idea of hiding God's word in my heart is, I am processing it. I am wrestling with it. I am allowing God to give me the mirror to see how bad I am, how messed up I am. And I am owning God's word in my life. That's what he's talking about. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. By the way, look at verse 12. This is the next step. So the first step, by the way, is what? Seek God. Don't wander from his commandments. Second step is hide his word in our heart. By the way, I wrote that reference on the previous one. Deuteronomy 6 was that idea, right? Talk about it when you rise up, when you sit down, when you go along the way. Just keep talking about God's word. Keep listening to God's word. Keep hearing God's word. Keep thinking about God's word. Just have it keep mulling over in your minds so it really sticks. That's the idea, right? So we got to do that. And look what he says next, by the way. Look at verse 12. Everybody look up. Get this in your mind, right? What it says. First of all, it says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. And by the way, you know what that says? That says that the author of this book has a heart that's humble, and he's really honest and really real, and he knows he needs God to teach him, and he's open to be taught. You know, that there's an expression that's kind of funny, and I like to use it sometimes, and it says that all of us Christians need to be fat. That runs counter to your New Year's resolution, right? The idea of being fat as a Christian is being faithful, being available, and being teachable. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm faithful. I'm pretty available. But sometimes my head is rock hard and I'm not too teachable. Right? And that's what the psalmist said. And by the way, I want to say this, and I said up here, the steps to accomplish this is something that we do in partnership with the Holy Spirit and God. So as you look at this passage, he says, this is what I'm going to do, and then he has a prayer. And by the way, he says, this is what I'm going to do. With my whole heart, I've sought you. Your word have I hidden in my heart. But Lord, guess what? Teach me your statutes. I'm seeking you at times. You know, I've memorized things. I've processed them. I work with them. But God, teach me them so they stick in my life and they make the change. Right? Teach me your statutes. Then he says, with my lips, I've declared all your judgments. And I'll throw this out to you guys. Write this down. Verbalize scripture. There's a method and there's a benefit to speaking the scripture. You know, in this day, back when all these things were communicated, it was only communicated verbally, not in writing initially. But speaking the scriptures make it stick. Make it stick. Speak the scriptures, right? And then anyway, he says, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. And he says, I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. And I'm going to throw this out. That idea of delighting myself. When you delight in something, what do? You keep going back to the same thing. Like, if you delight golf, Greg Collins, even when you shoot 140, what do? You go back next time, and you're thinking 70 is possible. Right? You know, and you hit one good shot, and I'm coming back next week. Never mind the 70 bad ones I hit before that, right? That's the idea, right? He keeps coming back to the scripture, right? He's praying, he's doing, and he keeps coming back to the word of God, and he keeps refreshing himself, and he keeps reading it. And I'll throw this out. A lot of us, we know a lot of verses. Read it again. Doesn't matter, right? Read it again. Here's the funny thing. The word of God is inexhaustible. In other words, every time you read it, it's going to speak to your heart. The text is the same. The message is the same. But how you apply that and what God's saying to you is probably different. Right? It's inexhaustible, right? We'll go to the next one. Go ahead, Chris. And I put on there, by the way, the work of the Holy Spirit. Please, please, please don't forget the work of the Holy Spirit. If you feel convicted, you probably are. If you're feeling convicted, God's speaking. We don't tend to convict ourselves too much, right? We tend to rationalize that we're not guilty of anything. But if you feel conviction that, man, this is really bothering me, this is really needs to be changing, this is really where I'm at, guess what? That is the Holy Spirit of God taking the scripture right to where it needs to go in your life. Right? So important, right? So what are some takeaways today? And we'll dig in more next week. Pastor Andrew's up next week. Here's the big thing, right? And you see this in the text. First thing we got to do in our lives is purpose, purpose, purpose to know and read God's word. You will likely not ever be sorry for reading the word. You'll be sorry if you don't. You won't be sorry if you do, right? Purpose. I will. And he says that, by the way. I will. I will. I will. There's determination. Determine in your heart to read Psalm 119 and everything around it in the scriptures, right? And how about this one? Plan and prepare. How? Remember he says, I've hidden your word in my heart. How are we going to do that? When am I going to do that? By the way, that's probably the harder question for us in our culture is not how. I know I got to read. The question is, when am I going to do it? It's usually easier at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, if there's a moment of quietness in your life. By the way, our fasting that many of us are doing, the idea of that fasting is to set aside time, change your routine, give up feeding your flesh to feed your soul. How am I going to get God's word into my life? By the way, we all probably have a Bible. There's probably a radio in our car. There may be a CD player. We all have phones that can access teaching and scripture 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How will you do it today is the question. How are you going to do it? Okay? And then how about this one, prayer. And remember how this psalm works? Guess what? He says, I'm going to do this. And he's like, God, help me do that. God, I'm going to do this. God, help me do that. It's a partnership with God that God wants you to succeed in. Ask God. Ask God, right? Ask him, right? And then here's the last thing is this. Act. You got to, at the end of the day, right, we got to just, you know, as the theme for Nike is, right, you just got to do it. You know, it's like anything else. By the way, the fast is that way. Exercise is that way. Work is often that way. You don't feel like doing it. You just got to do it. And if you do it, God will speak to your heart. Now, throw this out. Everybody look up. Last statement, and we're going to quit. Here's the thought. How many people, I want everybody to be really honest, okay? Raise your hand. Are you going to be honest? That's a bad start. Who's going to be honest? We're going to be honest, right? How many people, okay, you got to be honest, right? It's okay. By the way, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all know how messed up we all are, right? So we're going to be honest. How many people, right, have woke up on a Sunday morning and said these words, or these words rang in your head? I don't think I want to go to church today. Got to be honest. Raise your hand. It's okay. By the way, Pastor, is your hand up? Oh, yeah. You guys, by the way, this is not illustrative. I'm the pastor, but my hand's up. Pastor, hands too. Deacons, where's the deacons? Get your hands up. Dennis, there it is, right? Our worship leader, right? Get it up, right? Okay. All right, now, are y'all being honest, right? All right. So we know we're a mess. We just confirmed it, by the way. Okay? But here's the deal. How many times after you came have you said, doggone it, I should have listened to my idea and stayed home? And there may be a few you said, amen. That preacher was so long, my lunch burned up. Right? But by and large, right, if you came here and you fellowshiped and you heard the word of God and you got encouraged and God's word touched something in your heart that either encouraged you or helped you change, you said, you know what? I'm glad I went today. Amen. Right? Amen, right? That's the takeaway about the scriptures. You may be grumpy, tired, needing caffeine, you know, hungry, all the above, right? But if you open up God's word, it will. And remember we read about this last time? God says in his word, it will accomplish what I sent it for. Amen? So let's pray. Lord God, thanks for the day. Thanks for your word. Thank you, dear God, for just changing our heart and working in our lives in a way, Lord, that only you can through your word. And I pray, dear God, that we would embrace your word today, dear God, with passion. Father God, help us to be serious about your word, faithful about your word, determined about your word. And I ask, Lord, that you would just really, really work in our hearts and our minds to make that possible. Father, I pray, Lord, that this would be a partnership with you, Lord, that we would seek you and we would pray for you, Lord, to do what only you can do in us through your word and through your spirit. Lord God, change our hearts. Help us, dear God, to realize that we're sinners. We're in need of the grace of God and God's eternal salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord God, help us to follow what you say that we might really become your disciples. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that we've had. And I just pray, Lord, even right now, Lord, that you bless our time of fellowship that we're about to have in a couple of moments, Lord, as we just recognize Mr. Long and the blessing that he's been, Lord, as he's been part of that process of teaching our younger people, Lord, not just with words, but with actions. And I just ask that you would just work, Lord, in that time as well. Make it a time of great blessing and reflection and fellowship. Just encourage our hearts. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. We